We Talk Podcast presents... Break the wall! Break down the walls! Flip over your back and run! Watch the world! Baby, you know you're shooting! And I'm your priest! Baby, what I've got is
not... What it is, what it do? Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, it's going good. It's a little bit of a slow week. We had a middle of the thumbs to maybe below thumbs pay-per-view that came by. We saw the list get temporary put into obligatory for now. And we saw the dawn of a rematch of the match of the year.
Yeah, there's not a lot, but there's a few things to hit on for sure. But
yeah, well, a lot of big faces missing from WWE programming this week. The programming this week was much better than last week. Last week was an interesting week just because it seemed like the writers were drunk. We could even talk about some of the stuff from last week, some of the stuff we didn't like as well, just with the lack of topics. This week, names like Strowman, Roman, and Randy all missing from main WWE programming. Nakamura is another one, but that's who I want to get into first, interestingly enough. Nakamura, it does seem like the idea is to build him as a special attraction, and he will not have his first wrestling appearance until the Backlash pay-per-view, which he's all over the promotions for, on the 21st.
You know, I think, like, minus that hiccup last week where the crowd was a little weird, he's
perfect. I don't even know if it was the crowd as much as it was Dolph calling him Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I don't know about that. The artist known as Shinsuke, I'm just not...
That's the way it's going to go. I don't even worry about that as much as Dolph doing the Michael Jackson and the Bubbles the Monkey thing and acting like that was funny. Like, you're trying to build this guy up as a super... Can you imagine someone doing that about Brock Lesnar and... I don't know. Calling who would Brock Lesnar's equivalency be?
Gorilla Grodd?
Maybe. I don't know, but I don't think enough people know who Gorilla Grodd is. I'm trying to think as a musician or an actor or something like that.
There's not a lot with
No. But that's my point. It's just if you're gonna treat him like quote unquote maybe you're Brock Lesnar and have him very rarely use and have him as a special attraction, then treat him as a special attraction. Don't use him as a joke right off the bat because he's just that. Like, even the crowd now, even though they don't know, it's showing now that it's not just NXT and smart crowds that chant Nakamura and do all the things you do for that entrance. The crowd knows what it is.
Yeah, it makes me happy to see that because it means I think he'll get past whatever they're doing right now. And I think that Knock will be fine because he's going to just absolutely demolish Ziggler.
Should be a really good match, though. It's one of the matches. There's two matches of that pay-per-view I'm very much looking forward to.
Is there? I thought there was only one. No, it's Orton versus Mahal, right?
Yep, that's the one. We'll talk about Jinder this week. But with that and then the AJ-KO match, both of those matches have the chance to be the match of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Because even with what the women are doing, it looks like they're going to go off and do a tag with the homecoming party against Bliss, Trin, and Charlotte. So whatever is what it is. I've liked the build to it. I've liked what they've done to build to it. I'm not so sure if I like Charlotte as a face because she's so damn good at the heel. And then it looks like the women's match may be Carmella versus... Oh, no, Trin won't even be in that tag. It looks like it'll be Carmella versus... not Trinity. It's Total Divas talk versus Naomi.
Hey, well, I mean, land of opportunity.
Yeah. So
speaking of land of opportunity, I just want to quickly hit on. I really, really, because it popped into my head. I really, really like the Breeze Dago segment. I thought that was really nice.
There's a lot of Easter eggs in that too.
Yeah.
Freddie Blassie in the back of that was a big one for a lot of people.
I think you just have to let. Fandango and Tyler just kind of go and run with this. I mean, this isn't going to be your isn't by no means a world champion type gimmicks.
No, but they have a better chance of winning the straps than I would think Jinder does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think, you know what, just let them go and have some fun. You got to have a balance in wrestling and let them do it. If this kind of gets over and gets these both these guys going, then I don't care.
Neither do I. So week 3, 4 of Jinder Mahal, and he faced Sami Zayn and couldn't have a good match.
Sami Zayn is good at matches. And Sami Zayn rarely, if at all, has a bad match. And usually, more times than not, Sami does a good job.
I think the early Strowman things, maybe a little bit, were a little struggle when Strowman was super green. But even those ran better to me. Because it wasn't even like it was a bad match for Jinder, Joel. It was just, it was like, eh.
Yeah. And Jinder, you could tell Jinder kind of potatoed Sami at different points.
Yes, he did.
So, I don't know, this Jinder, as a Calgary kid, let Jinder do his thing, but because they asked Dave Meltzer who he thought was number two behind AJ, and it was his Sami.
Oh, for in-ring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In WWE, and when number two can't get you going, that's not a good thing.
Wonder if they'll put him in the ring against AJ next week.
Don't hurt AJ. Please protect our soccer mom, please.
Also, there was no, speaking of Sami in his feud, why am I not thinking about his name right now?
Is he the Viper?
No. Oh, man. Why am I not thinking? Corbin. Corbin wasn't on because he pushed a referee and talking smack. I like that little touch this week.
Yeah,
but it kind of takes the thing away of Shane threw AJ through Shane through glass, and Randy burnt down a house. No suspensions.
Well, the house.
KO almost killed Jericho. No suspension.
Well, it's just kind of like the NHL, and they're refereeing and they're called. So
yeah, apparently.
You just got to accept some things will get called and some things won't.
So, yeah, it's funny that we go right to SmackDown because that's really. The ratings have not been good, but the programming has been good.
Yep, it's an easy watch. It's fun and it's enjoyable. And I mean, you get to see.
People stat now too. So, to the point where sometimes people are just not going to make the show. Like, no Randy or Corbin this week. Last week was really no Ty Dillinger. Some of the takes aren't even on it, but it works.
Yep, you keep these guys fresh. Not all everyone has to be on TV 24/7. So you keep it fresh and kind of let it go and have some fun with it.
They don't really seem to have a feud for Ty Dillinger right now. I think he's going to have to wait till after Payback, and he'll be probably stuck with Aiden English for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, English can sing, so might as well let him.
What did you think about the crying gimmick?
He's a hell of an actor, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
So I hope this kind of helps him break through, because even if this is a mid-card guy, if this is a guy that can make an impact and be a small player in your company, then why not? Why? There's nothing wrong with that.
You and I have always been a fan of him. We've always thought in there, like, if he could get away from Simon Gotch, because Simon Gotch was just kind of whatever. like, he could probably have a decent, okay singles run. And, it's better than where he was. He was not on television, and now he is on television. Meltzer thought that it was poking fun at Mauro with the crying gimmick, and I think that's a little bit of a stretch, personally.
That one's an interesting one. I'm not entirely sure, but I mean, if anyone's going to know, it'll probably be Dave.
Yeah, when I thought the crying thing, I just thought, because for as far as crying gimmicks go, I thought of Christian, because Christian used to have the crying gimmick.
Yeah, he used to be a crybaby.
Yeah, so, and he always lost. So that kind of made me think of when Christian had that gimmick, and they just recycled it to Aiden English. Plus, he's an actor, he's a singer, he's just a tortured artist, and he's an emotional. That's really what I went with what they've done with the Aiden English character.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think that there's definitely, maybe trying to stretch out a little bit too much for something with that, but at the same time, I mean, it's not uncommon for WWE to do this, so
And credit to him, no one's talking about Ty Dillinger this week. They're talking about Aiden English.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You want to gain attention like that. I think Ty will eventually kind of gain back, but, you know, it's good, because then that means when Ty does win the series of matches, which he's already has, he's beaten him twice.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
He's beat Curt Hawkins, and he's beat English twice.
So, yeah, that tells me that's pretty much he's won that feud already. But Ty will just kind of keep rolling. And, you know, Aiden, if he can get his bearings and get going with stuff, then all the more power to him.
Going over to KO and the end of Chris Jericho.
This is the second best run Jericho's had in the company.
Yeah. You and I have talked about it off air. The only thing that lacks it being better than that 08 run was a really good set of matches. What he had with Shawn and like what he had with Ray and then with Edge and all the Jericho stuff as well.
But
he had some really good tag team matches in there. Some against DX come to mind.
Yeah.
He never really had a definingly good match. Like, he had good matches with everyone he faced, for sure. He had a nice Raw match versus Joe that I really liked.
Yeah.
He had some good matches with AJ, including WrestleMania against AJ. Although I liked the prior match that you had. I mean, that match with Dean Ambrose will go down in history for what it was.
Better or worse than House of Horrors?
That the Lunatic, whatever that match was called.
Lunatic Asylum. Or Asylum match.
If I had to watch either one, that's a good question. I think I'd rather watch House of Horrors.
But you have to be drunk for the House of Horrors. That's the preference.
I was drunk for House of Horrors.
I think you'd have to be.
But I think
I got a question. Was P.S. Hayes drunk when he came up with this a couple of years ago? Because he's the one that's been pushing for this.
I would rather, if I was sober, I'd still rather watch House of Horrors.
I don't know. Yeah, no, the Dean thing was...
That was just boring.
Yeah, that was
boring. It had the high spot with the thumbtacks, but it was just a boring match. At least with this, it was stupid, but it wasn't boring. It wasn't boring. Can't say that about that. That's why I don't even know if I will make it my worst match of the year, because it wasn't boring.
Well, Dave Meltzer couldn't give a star rating to the house portion of the match.
No, you can't. Does it worry you with what they can do for the Hardys when the turn and the broken stuff does come?
Well, I read somewhere that Matt wanted to bring Jeremy Borsch with him to WWE, but Borsch was quite content with what his life was, and he's like, no, I'm good here. It's not a big deal. But I think that... I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen, but I think Matt... I like having Matt Hardy involved in this, so...
We have two examples of this, too. The Wyatt and the New Day thing, which sucked. And now this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Matt Hardy will be a difference maker, but it's still not something I'm particularly looking forward to.
The Hardys have been kind of boring lately, too, so...
Well, I think this new thing with Cesaro and Sheamus kind of adds a little bit of...
Yeah, let's talk about that. I thought it was a really good promo by both of them. It's one of the better moments of Cesaro's career so far. I think a turn was very much needed, especially Raw and the WWE as a whole need some better, stronger heels right now.
Yeah.
I thought Sheamus has been a little unsafe, has been kind of resurrected a little bit lately, and he's someone you actually care about what they do on the show again.
Yeah. Excuse me. I don't know. I'm still a little unsold. I'm not sold on Sheamus.
That's fair, but I think we have to admit, like, at least Before, we just didn't care. Now, you kind of care at least what he has to say when he talks.
Yeah, and I mean, the cool thing is, we get a real-life version of Yosemite Sam and Elmer Fudd in the WWE, so
yeah,
let this go.
I think at the very least, too, with this, too, it's brought the best out of Cesaro.
Yeah.
Because the babyface stuff wasn't working, him turning into Cesaro section now works. And eventually, he'll turn back face when he ends up splitting with Sheamus.
Yes. Unless he just walks on them.
Yeah, either one of them. Do you think they need to beat the Hardys for the tag titles?
Well, they gotta break the Hardys somehow, so...
You think they will be the ones to break them?
Yes.
Well, another guy that could do that is Bray Wyatt, and it looks like that main event on Raw, really good main event. Did you end up getting a chance to see it?
No, I haven't yet.
I'm
kicking myself.
You know, a little overcomplicated, with everything, but, with just how many people ended up showing up and at the end, but, we have Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor going forward, and we're going to get Dean Ambrose and The Miz again.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's good for The Miz, and it's, I think that match did something good, though, because it set up feuds for everyone. Everyone's got something to do.
And we were worried about where The Miz would land, right? We were worried, man, will he just kind of go to Raw and kind of fall down? But he is back in a good position. He's had 3 weeks now, and he's at a nice level, and I think he should win the Intercontinental title.
Yes, I do as well. I completely agree. I think it's time to have him, because he'll more or less be the face of Raw. That would be the highest, because the reality is, with Monday Night Raw, I feel for Finn, I feel for Seth, is there's only two guys that are going to hold the title for the next year and a half, and it's Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, and that's just the way it is. So
well, there is a chance that maybe Finn can win it. We don't know for sure, because there's a chance that Brock can lose it and gain it back, but it looks more and more like Brock won't lose the title until he loses it to Roman. So if you're on Raw and you want a world championship, you're probably on the wrong brand.
Yeah. But on SmackDown, you're probably going to have Baron Corbin win the title. You're probably going to have AJ win the title.
Rusev. I think Rusev's winning Money in the Bank.
Ooh, I'd be okay with that. I'm a big supporter of Rusev.
The question is, who is he going to face? I don't think Jinder's going to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if they're like, ha-ha, you didn't think we'd make it win, did you? No one thought JBL was going to beat Eddie Guerrero.
My question to you is, what do you think of Jinder? Would that be like a Kane title reign of a day or a month?
The weird thing is you have that Rusev program that's next.
And then have Rusev win the title. So who's the babyface in that situation?
Rusev!
Oh, Rusev is going to get over.
Rusev is playing the heel, the one that's hijacking the company.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm looking much more forward to that. I will be admitted that I was very high on Jinder just because he's a Calgary native, and I was like, oh, that's okay. Let's go Jinder. And after the last few weeks, I'm kind of ready to sell the stock already, because I'm just in ring. He's not too impressive. Promo, he's fine, but overall, I just don't think that someone that should have a title on him, no matter what the deal is for India.
No, he is not a guy that I would put in a big position. Maybe like a U.S. title, maybe at one point.
It makes sense for him to face Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
But if Kevin Owens was a face, because then Jinder say, no, I am the face of America, makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And that's the way you would build up a foreign heel like that.
Yeah. But he's definitely not someone I would want carrying that title, even for 2 months. Rusev is someone that I think could carry that title, no problem.
Rusev can carry that title, and I would be fine if they went into SummerSlam even with Rusev versus Nakamura, for example.
Nakamura should not be in the title picture until heading into WrestleMania.
I don't think so either, but just looking at how things are going to go, there's a chance he may have to be in it, just because I think AJ is going to be with that U.S. title for a long time with KO for the next few months.
I would keep Nak away from there, and then I would have basically, like, they've kept...
Here's Sammy?
Huh?
Sammy, maybe?
Ooh.
Sammy Ruru?
Ooh, that would be good. That gives Sam... Yeah, that'd be actually be a lot of fun.
I don't know what you do with Randy, then. Maybe you could do something with Randy and Corbin.
Yeah. And then you could do Corbin and Knock a little bit. You could do Knock and Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Randy just feels kind of meh to me right now.
Randy feels like he should be on Raw.
Yeah. And on totally unrelated news, the Ottawa Senators have taken a 3-2 series lead over the New York Rangers in overtime. So.
I just saw the goal myself.
Canada.
Yeah.
Except for one team.
Randy, I think he should be on Raw. There should be a trade for him. And I'd rather have the Miz just come back.
Yeah, I think the Miz is someone that I would much rather take with me. But
going back to the Raw side really quick here. So what do we think about Finn and Bray? It's going to be a little interesting.
Whole wide world. Bray's going to lose. It's at the end of the day, Finn's going to win the feud. I think it's a nice little feud. He's going to bring out the inner demon in Finn.
I think we're going to get some more weird stuff.
It'll never stop with the weird stuff. This is Vincent Kennedy McMahon, after all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, I think it'll be a fine feud. I think between Finn and Bray, I think we'll get some good matches. That Sister Abigail looks sick. That was a nice.
This is Finn's first big main roster program since SummerSlam.
So this will be good for him, but I think Finn has that it factor, so I'm not worried in the least.
By the way, just an update, since Joe was giving updates, the goal in Ottawa may not stand because they may have been offside.
Aww.
Anyways, so yeah, there's that feud right there as well. We don't need to talk too much about Braun and Roman. I thought that the match was really good between the two of them.
Yeah.
Braun has proven that he can go in the ring and deliver very passable, good matches. He's not finished with you. And
make it a shirt.
The Senator goal apparently counted. So that needs to be a shirt. And I think we're going to get an ambulance match.
Yeah. Here's the thing I think with Braun. Honestly, if I'm looking at things, I'm penciling Braun Strowman into the main event of next year's WrestleMania.
I would too. My question is, who's going to face Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire? I tried to say that name with a straight face, by the way.
You know what? I know who should face him. I've been thinking about it. Great Balls of Fire is going to be an awesome, awesome pay-per-view. Who? I can't believe that's the name of the pay-per-view. AJ Styles did an interview, and you could see he thought that the guy that was interviewing was ribbing him, because he looked over at the media guy, and he's like, we have a pay-per-view called Great Balls of Fire. So not even some of the people in the company know it's real. You told me it wasn't real at all.
I did not believe that was real.
And then I started reading, and I was like, Josh.
I just got ready for Paul Heyman. The Beast, Brock Lesnar, will defeat you at Great Balls of Fire. No.
You know what I think of whenever.
So what week are we doing using the Jerry Lewis? Who sang Great Balls of Fire?
It's someone. But I think
one week we're going to be using Great Balls of Fire for an intro, no doubt.
This is what I think of when I hear Great Balls of Fire.
I'm going to go embarrass myself with this one.
That's really looks.
Top Gun. Who calls a pay-per-view Great Ball? Like, can we talk about that for a second?
Well, it was probably something like this. The marketing department. Well, you know, Vince, a lot of indie shows these days are calling their pay-per-views by famous songs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so, you know, maybe we could call it Bad and Bougie. No, that's one of the number one songs in the world right now. It's Bad and Bougie. Not the greatest pay-per-view name, Joel, but that's actually something that, okay, that kind of sounds like a pay-per-view name, right? Well, yeah, that's a name, Vince. You know, maybe don't call it Passion Fruit by Drake, for example, because that would be, that'd be a little weird. But yeah, you know, a lot of people are using the top names of today's top songs. I got it! Oh, yeah, Vince, what do you got? So you got, you know, Humble by Kendrick Lamar, or, you know, DNA by Kendrick Lamar, maybe something by the Chainsmokers or Bruno Mars, Drake. Great Balls of Fire! The Jerry Lee Lewis song? The thing The Rock talked about in a promo, like, 15 years ago?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Well, Vince, they use things that are a little bit more...
Dope. Great Balls of Fire it is! No more Bad Blood!
What would you much rather have? Passion Fruit or Great Balls of Fire?
Passion Fruit. Passion Fruit would be great.
You know what this makes me think of? Is we're going to have to hear Paul Heyman say, "Ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday at Great Balls of Fire, Brock Lesnar will defend his title. And he will success." So is there going to be a Great Balls of Fire match?
When the pay-per-view... Is that the next pay-per-view?
Yeah, that's the next... I think that's
God. Okay, so we need to start keeping track of how many times someone says, "Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire."
Paul Heyman's going to have to slip it in.
Who says it the most? Is it Roman that says a stupid line and says it? Is it Michael Cole that says it? Is it Booker T that says it? Any of the announcers, you got all the announcers separately.
It's going to be Roman Reigns.
Kurt Angle? Will it be Kurt Angle?
It'll be Roman Kurt Reigns.
Yeah. I'm going to say Michael Cole, probably.
Like, I'm just going through songs right now, and, like, we could probably use a bunch of these.
The idea was they didn't want to call it Bad Blood anymore. Fine, that's cool. You don't have to call it Bad Blood anymore. There's tons of better pay-per-view names you can use than Great Balls of Fire.
There's a song called Hooch, so you can just call...
Sure. But in all seriousness now that it is a part of our job, at Great Balls of Fire, who would you have Brock face? Is it Strowman? Because I would think The Finn is still busy with Bray Wyatt.
I'm sorry. I don't have the maturity level for this.
We gotta do it.
This will be the longest segments we do because I'll be giggling.
I can talk about Trump and his healthcare bill with a straight face. You can talk about Great Balls of Fire.
Two are completely different things. One's no laughing matter.
One is a laughing matter of the stupidity of it, but the other one is a laughing matter of the stupidity of the name, so.
I still wouldn't laugh at the Trump stuff. That makes me nervous. But not to get political.
No, not to get political. Anyways, but yeah, we have to talk about it with a straight face. So at the pay-per-view, the next Raw pay-per-view, which we'll probably call it, who would you have Brock face? It's probably... Because it seems more like you want to have the Strowman thing at SummerSlam. So who's...
You know what? You do exactly what they did on SmackDown, and you have it beat Kurt Hawkins.
Really?
Well, here's my thinking. Maybe you have someone.
I think you're going to have people that look at Great Balls of Fire and think of it as a joke in the first place. So don't you need a decently big main event for it?
Well, my fear is because the only other guy that comes to mind to face Brock is Braun, and I don't.
There's another one.
Yeah.
Seth.
But will Seth be done with Joe by then?
I don't know. Seth's also fucking boring right now.
Seth got a good pop when he talked about...
Good pop. He has no character right now. Like, what is Seth Rollins? Who is Seth Rollins? Why should I care about Seth Rollins?
See, then that's the thing. Hopefully they can develop him, because he's a tremendous performer.
Great worker. Hasn't really been the same since the injury.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of finding footing. I'm not too worried about Seth.
I would almost love to see him and Joe at the pay-per-view, but I don't know... You could get, if you're going to get to that. There's obviously going to be a number one contender. I mean, you could just jump right to getting Finn and have Finn knock out Bray and go to it. It also depends. Like, what is Brock? Is he a face? Is he a heel?
He's just Brock Lesnar to me at this point.
So you could also have Bray face him. You could have Finn face him. You could have Dean face him again.
I don't want a Dean Ambrose.
I don't want that either, but...
You know who should beat Brock Lesnar? You know who should beat Brock Lesnar, Josh?
Who's that?
The Miz.
That would be interesting.
That would send the internet into a tailspin.
But you'd have to have, like, Roman come out and spear him.
Yeah.
Because that would set the most heat on everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because have Miz just talk bragging about how he beat Brock Lesnar would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, because I think the Miz should have a title reign soon.
I agree, for sure.
But, you know, maybe the Miz doesn't beat Dean, and then maybe that's where Miz goes to next.
That would be interesting. You know he would say, goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Oh, he'd have fun. He'd have fun.
So, anything else on the WWE side? I think we kind of hit on everything.
Goodness gracious, I think we did.
Neither one of us really watched 205 live, so... The only thing I can tell you about 205, I just read what happened, or when a lot of their podcasts, I listen to the recap, and all I can tell you what happened recently on there is that Noam Dar is back with Alicia Fox now.
Because Vince likes that pairing.
Alicia Fox.
Hey, anything to keep Vince amused?
TNA, I don't really know really what's going on there.
It seems like they're running a decently tight ship now.
In TNA?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah. People are getting paid on time now and things are kind of calm.
But the ratings are still shit and the TV's still shit.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing that's always going to hold them back. But if they can get that back, maybe they can be a decent little promotion. It sounds like, well, this is kind of related to WWE, but someone that could definitely be a potential face of the company, face of pro wrestling, could be a big, big, big time player. And Mo had one of Mo's favorites, Adam Cole.
Baby.
Had to let you get that in.
Yep.
He is a free agent, and both WWE and New Japan have interest in him. I could see him going either way, but with how much he's talked about wanting to go to NXT, and that's the way he'd want to go to WWE, I think that's the way he's going to go.
Joe, where's the next NXT show?
Chicago.
Oh, shit.
That pop's going to be pretty good, and Backlash is in Chicago, so Nakamura's pop.
Yeah, I wonder, too, if they'll get Kyle O'Reilly at the same time.
That would be interesting.
And then you have Hideo beat Bobby and get Bobby up to the main roster ASAP.
Yeah.
And you have Asuka lose the title and get Asuka up.
Yeah. And then you have Adam Cole dominate NXT.
I don't know who is facing off. I'll admit my NXT viewing has drifted off a little bit.
But they're getting better now. They're definitely kind of getting some stuff going that I think is going to draw more people
in. I think because they had to develop some new characters again. You know, they're developing Aleister Black. Hideo's finally getting going again. The women's division is starting to find its way again.
I have to find it, but there's a new female that WWE signed that is probably better, wrestles better than most of the men on the main roster. I have to find the name. It is a Japanese.
Ember Moon has been taken off of the Chicago. Yeah. Pay-per-view because she hurt her shoulder.
Yeah, and then...
So I would think that would mean Nikki Cross is probably going to win the title, unless they get the icons into there and put it on Peyton.
Yeah. So I'm going to have quite the time announcing this name, but it's...
You want to send it to me and let me try?
That's probably the safest.
Yeah, Ember Moon has officially been taken away from the title, and it's a triple threat now. And the tag team is a ladder match between the Authors of Pain and DIY. DIY works really good with Office of Pain. I don't know what it is.
Well, it's because it's Johnny Wrestling.
And Tyler Bate will be wrestling that show too, putting the United States Championship up on the line against TBA.
Ooh.
Is there any big free agents that are United Kingdom?
None that come to mind.
Or did they just not sign a super big talent that's from the United Kingdom?
I'm falling blank now.
McIntyre.
I don't think he's going to be going that way.
I don't see a lot of the bigger, like, I don't see anything for Aleister Black on here, and I don't see anything for Hero either.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my NXT viewing has not been what it should be. Kihira Hojo.
She is one of the, she has made her departure for Stardom Wrestling, which is over in Asia. And she is apparently extremely talented from Dave Meltzer. She's one of the top stars. And it seems like they're restocking. And that's not
seems
a bad
like
thing.
I hopefully she's better than Ruby Riott. I'm not a huge fan of Ruby Riott personally. I think she's fine in the ring.
Yeah. I like, you know who I really, really like? I really, really like. Now her name was there and now it's gone the very minute I was going to say it. It's the...
Nikki Cross?
Nikki Cross.
I think she's winning the title.
I think just... She is... You fully buy into her that she's...
Off. Crazy, yeah. If you would have seen NXT programming almost 6 months ago now, they had a mixed women's tag match that had Daria and Mandy Rose in it, and she was just an innocent, fun-loving Irish woman.
Yeah.
And she 0-100 real quick on that.
Oh, yeah. And that just speaks to me of what level of performer she is.
Yeah, for sure. So NXT actually is looking to be a really, under the radar, really good pay-per-view.
Yes.
But again, I think Asuka and Bobby Roode could potentially both lose their titles because I think both of them are needed on the main roster right now.
Oh, yeah. And both of them could just go to SmackDown, right?
Well, Bobby Roode may be needed on SmackDown because they need those heels, but I would maybe put Asuka onto Raw.
Yeah.
I think the women's division is pretty good right now on SmackDown. With the, you know, you still have the potential Natty, that Natty has a lot of feuds. You can do Natty Naomi. I think eventually Natty's going to beat Naomi for the title, and I think at SummerSlam we may get a Natty Becky match or a Natty Charlotte match. That's, I think, the way we're going to be going.
Yes, I would agree. It's hard to disagree with you with some things. Other things, it's very easy to disagree with you.
We sometimes just think on the same wavelength. Japan-wise, we're getting Omega and Okada one more time.
And it just happens to time out to being just before they come to the States for the G1.
Will they get 7 stars this time?
I don't know, but if they get... Josh, what would you do if they got 6 stars? Just throwing it out there. If they got another 6-star match from Dave Meltzer.
It would be... I mean, that's going to be something. Omega had a really good match over the weekend. Okada's just been on a roll. WWE, you know, they've had some entertaining segments this year, but as far as wrestling, like, Japan has just been unbelievable this year.
It's like...
And mainly Okada, but...
Okada is the... Here's what it is. Here's a comparison that you're going to love. Okada is LeBron James, and WWE is the Toronto Raptors. And LeBron James is just... right now.
Doing whatever he wants. And he's how old is Okada? He's still in his 20s, right?
Yeah, he's not, I don't think he's hit 30 yet.
Wow.
So he's a name that we will talk about in high as more passionate wrestling fans in high regard.
We're almost at the halfway point of 2017, and right now he seems to have wrestler and match of the year already unlocked for the One Fall Awards. Just a clean sweep from all three of us.
Oh yeah, Okada's just been unreal, and like,
I can't even think about who's a runner-up. Like, maybe, like, an Omega, maybe AJ.
I think Omega and AJ are... Omega and AJ... AJ's going to have a really good second half.
Yeah, AJ, the best... Like, AJ has the best WWE match of the year against Cena at Royal Rumble. And the problem is, WWE just hasn't really produced a lot of really good matches this year. They've had some fine matches, good average matches, but they haven't had a lot of matches that blow you away, even Mania... Didn't have that last pay-per-view, didn't have that. Backlash has the potential to have 2 of them.
Yeah. I think that the competitive side of AJ is going to really get going very soon here, and I think he's going to be one to...
He's the guy I'd like to see face Brock, because I think he can get the very best out of Brock.
Oh, he'd get the very best out of Brock, and he'd bump like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. What's the latest on Shibata?
Well, Shibata can can't really see out of his right eye, and he can't hear out of his right ear. With everything going on with the line of sports, with involving concussions and CTE, I want to see Shibata never wrestle again, personally. Mm. That the fact that he's at this point, health-wise, where he lost feeling in one side of his body and lost kind of use, it's not... Like, we can sit here and joke about Great Balls of Fire, and we can joke about certain stuff. This is definitely something that is serious. I mean, what a way to go out is with a 5-star match against Okada. But, again, at what cost? And this is a guy that would just go and wrestle. And he'd easily just keep going and going and going and going until he probably dies in the ring.
Yeah, it's kind of the Brian situation.
Yeah, I'm
well, Brian was in a company like that, Brian would have been back and wrestled.
Brian, if WWE was any other company and didn't, if the Benoit thing never happened, Daniel Bryan probably would have wrestled Brock Lesnar.
And I think too right now with Brian, I think as much as he wants to come back, Brie is about 4 days late now. When that little girl comes into his world, I think that's going to change his perspective on a lot of things, especially getting back in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Once you have a kid, man, it changes everything.
Yeah, so...
Not that either of us know what that's like.
No, not that either one of us know what that's like, but I think Brian's going to be a great dad, first of all, and I think that's going to be a big game changer for him.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. And I mean, all the more power to him.
And Birdie needs to get born so Brian can get back on Talking Smack.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like,
come on, get out! Your dad needs to get back and play Shane. And his... Yes, that is interesting. I agree with that. You have a big match this week. And now, Renee, what do you think? You talk about John Cena having a robotic delivery. Shane's is much, much worse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Talking Smack, he's almost unbearable.
I really, really want Daniel Bryan back, and I want him to sit down and talk with AJ. I want him to talk with Kevin. I want him and Kevin Owens just to have a promo off. Where they
you know what's weird with Shane is he's a McMahon, but did he ever feel like he is a McMahon compared to, like, Steph and Vince? Because Steph and Vince have all this energy.
You know, he's very mellow. He's kind of like
his
mother.
Yeah, he is very mellow. Like, I would love to see Steph with Renee and Talking Smack.
No.
Because Steph, she has energy and she can bring stuff out of people, at least. And sometimes she brings people down. I like her more as a promo than I like Shane.
I think both of them for different reasons, I wouldn't want them talking.
Like, I miss Stephanie on TV right now.
I love to see... I don't. I'm glad to get away from the GM... the commissioner, get away from that and just focus on what's happening.
She should be back soon because he was just on that India trip and that she's going to be back pretty soon with Kurt, which would be great because I love the dynamic of Steph and Kurt when they were together the first time.
Yeah, it'll be okay, but
one thing we like to disagree on.
Yeah. You know who I'd like to see on Talking Smack at one point? Vince.
As a host? Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Him sitting next to Renee talking. You know, what it is it's Vince, Renee, and Daniel.
That would be interesting. Renee, I will say one credit to Renee is she's very good at what she does.
Yes.
She's very good at ringing people in. And out of all the co-hosts she's had, I'd probably say JBL has been my second favorite of them all. That's not any high praise of anything, but I would probably say JBL's done the second best. Miz was okay, but he was doing that weird thing of like, I'm Mike Mizanin, I'm not the Miz here. It was weird. Brian is just so good because Brian doesn't give a fuck, and that's the best part about that.
Yeah. That's why I want him and Vince to sit down and talk.
Yeah.
What would that be like?
It'd be interesting. I mean, how long ago was the Vince and Austin podcast?
That was a while ago.
That was just everything. And I just need – I wish they had those like every like 6 months on like the state of the WWE and just have Vince talk about stuff.
With Austin, specifically. Well, they want to do more Austin podcasts, I heard.
They do, but he's not under contract right now.
So they're going to kind of have to wrangle him back. Hmm. I think Austin enjoys it. I do. I wouldn't mind another Vince and Austin podcast.
I wish he would have got Stephanie on because Jericho had Stephanie and it was more friendly.
Yeah, same with Cena.
We have WWE's first quarter earnings out, by the way.
How's that look?
So, WWE has issued a press release regarding their stuff, so it goes all the way up to March 31st. So the revenue of the WWE was reportedly increased 10% from $171.1 million in the prior year to 188.4. So they added revenue from the prior first quarter review. In the aspect of paid subscribers for the network, the company saw a 16% increase from 2017. I think that has to do with Mania, though.
Yeah.
Furthermore, the WWE has produced new episodes of its Cruiserweight Series 205 Live. And held a UK tournament featuring local talent. The promotion has aimed at producing more diverse talent, blah, blah, blah. Besides this, WWE has announced a partnership with HBO on Bill Simmons in the documentary and possible future documentaries with Bill and HBO. The promotion also completed a multi-year agreement naming StubHub as WWE's executive ticket resale marketplace for fans in the USA and Canada. That's pretty big.
Holy crap, yeah.
WrestleMania 33 broke records. The attendance in the Citrus Bowl, we've heard that. This WrestleMania was the most watched edition of the event of all time and has reportedly reached a 1.95 global households on the network this year alone. So that's not including pay-per-view for the people that still, for some reason, buy pay-per-view. This year's WrestleMania weekend content saw a 44% year-over-year increase as the network subscribers watch in the first quarter, this is how many hours network subscribers have watched. 22.5 million hours of content, an average of 13 hours per subscriber.
Holy crap.
WrestleMania was the most social events in WWE history with 5.19 million interactions on Twitter and Facebook. Out of the total social interactions on TV, April 2nd, and then it goes what was this year so far. It was WrestleMania 33 was one, Country Music Awards, The Walking Dead, and the opening day of ML Baseball.
Wow.
WWE reported a 0.9 income in 2017, so they've gained that. Then there's a lot of other stuff. Second quarter outlook. This is just a lot of business talk. WWE has reportedly raised the lower end of the projected range of subscribers for the second quarter of the year based on the performance of its subscriber for WrestleMania. WWE is projecting an average paid subscriber of at least 1.63 million for the second quarter. Furthermore, adjusted blah, blah, blah. So WWE looks like they have been making money in that first quarter. Which was not, it seemed like they were losing a little bit of money the past 2 years. It seems like they have done a nice job of building up money.
Hey, and that's a good thing. I mean, that's good for the company. That's good for everything in general. When making money, then that's a nice sign. And just a sign of the economy.
And the network subscribers have gone up. I think a big part of that was Mania. And a big part of that was giving the Mania away for free. See, that's the thing, too. That they just say subscribers, and then we go to the paid subscribers. So that is an interesting perspective too, to see where the subscribers go as we get down now to these later half of pay-per-views and how they sustain them, whether it be a Brock Lesnar facing off at the next Raw pay-per-view or whether it be Money in the Bank. These are all big. Money in the Bank's a big event to draw people in. Brock Lesnar's a big event and ultimately leading us down to SummerSlam.
But I can tell you this, they are not going to be able to top Survivor Series from last year.
No, that won't happen. Interesting. Good for them to make some money. It seems like they've done a good job of that. House show attendance seems to be up decently as well.
Yeah. Hey, if it's more money for wrestlers, it's like I said, it's a sign of the economy, and it means that if they can just keep chugging away and keep going, then all the more power to them. Use that money to sign Adam Cole.
Baby. The viewership is interesting. SmackDown was down 3 weeks in a row now. But Vince has kind of said to have given up on ratings, and you know, you and I have had this topic on here and off the pod that it's just so hard to generate what ratings are now, because you go and a lot of people watch stuff on YouTube. A lot of people watch the show next day on Hulu. It doesn't take in PVR numbers. It's just by who has that magical little box that checks those viewers. So it's an interesting discussion and really look at ratings right yeah. now. You really can't tell what certain ratings are going to be.
No. And I guess it's just, you know, it's the land of TV is a changing dynamic. So
yeah,
it's just a matter of waiting and seeing what happens. And, you know, I don't think SmackDown has been a failure at all.
And also kind of on a business side of things, ESPN with all those cuts, but all the WWE type of people stayed there. So cutting a lot of hockey people, but all the people that write for WWE and do the WWE segment all stayed along. So I guess that shows that ESPN's agreement with WWE is pretty strong. Now they have this agreement with HBO. So getting involvement with some pretty decently big companies.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that kept that Vince McMahon script kind of dormant, minus how it was written,
yeah,
was people didn't want to upset the beast known as Vince.
No. Did we talk about the movie on here?
Can we talk about the movie on here? I don't think we did.
Sure.
It was wonderful. I think it's that one of those movies that has Oscar potential when you don't include Hulk Hogan.
And you mean Razzie potential.
Yeah. And you have Hulk Hogan have erectile dysfunction, and you show that off.
Or that Linda was a whore. She was a stripper. And Vince almost beat the shit out of the bouncer and made her quit her job.
And that was a big turn-on for her. And apparently Vince and Linda
took her right there behind. There's a whole graphic scene about Vince fucking Linda in an alley.
There was another scene where a diva wants to sleep with Vince, and then Linda decides to do it herself in the middle of an empty stadium.
She fucks the diva?
No. Vince and Linda do.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And
Junkyard Dog literally worked in a junkyard.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka was a porn star.
Not a murderer.
No. Roddy Piper was in jail. Andre worked in a restaurant.
He just found Andre at this restaurant. It was in Montreal, right?
Yep.
Yeah, not Paris, from Montreal.
So, and the AWA didn't play a role in anything.
AWA didn't. Who's Jim Crockett? What's a Crockett?
Yeah, I think there were two Crockett brothers, and one of them
was... Oh, they're both evil. They will be... Listen, now for the record, that's probably the one thing. When the actual Vince movie gets made, the Crocketts will be perceived as evil. So will Ted Turner.
Oh, yes. They're the villains of the Vince's story.
Yeah, they're 100% the villains.
So, I gotta ask you, could we write a better Vince McMahon script?
Yeah. I think we could.
Could a Rock? Like, not The Rock, but could a Rock write a better script?
If we treat it... some symbionts and sentience, so it can, you know, learn how to. Yeah, maybe.
We teach it.
Yeah, just very slowly. Pet rocks used to be a thing.
Yeah, there we go, perfect. And then it can deliver rock bottoms to people, and it'll be great. It'll be high entertainment value. Yeah, no, this script was a joke. It broke my heart.
It was stupid. It was just stupid. Like, first... when you told me about it, I laughed, and it was hilarious. And then I'm just like, this is just dumb. Like, this is just stupid.
I couldn't watch that in a movie theater. I'd cry.
Yeah, it was just stupid. Like, I just had no enjoyment about it whatsoever.
You know, Vince is over the top, but there's a reason Vince is over the top. And I was telling you some of the stuff that Vince used to do. Vince doesn't like sneezing. Vince, what was the other thing that I told you?
Blinking?
Huh?
Blinking?
No, nodding. Vince doesn't like when you nod.
Right.
If you nod in front of Vince McMahon, he'll lose it.
Mm-hmm.
A writer got fired. Well, it didn't last long. And
what was his reason for hating nodding?
Because it means that you're a yes man. You're just kind of nodding along. You're not inputting anything. You're not engaging. You're just nodding.
It's not a terrible reason.
I want to know what his reasons for hating sneezing.
Paul Heyman brought it up before.
Yeah, I think it's a control.
It's weak because you can't contain it in yourself to not do it. It's an ability not that you couldn't hold it in, right? You had to let it out.
Vince likes snow cones. I found that out.
That's one. That was weird.
Hey, I mean, the guy likes snow cones. I like Toblerone bars.
That was weird. I just pictured Vince with a snow cone. Like, yeah!
It's snowy, but flavory at the same time.
I guess also interesting news, switching on to Dave Bautista, was on Talk is Jericho, and had the pretty infamous quote there saying, I miss wrestling, but I don't miss WWE and their bullshit politics.
Well, that tells you where Dave stands on things. It's very interesting you went from Vince licking a snow cone to Dave Bautista. So.
Yeah, I thought we were done with that segment. I think a big part of that with Big Dave, though, is he just wants to face Hunter. And they have no interest in that match. Hunter has no interest. And Jill, do you have interest in that match?
I got to see Bautista beat up Hunter multiple times.
Do you want to see it again, though?
No, I'm done. Do you want to see him in Titus
O'Neil?
Huh?
And apparently he's still in that Titus O'Neil thing.
That Titus brand is just on fire.
And then Jericho asked him who he'd like to face in the new guys. He's like, I don't really care about any of the new guys. Maybe Bray Wyatt. But that's not a match I'd want to see either. Jericho tried to force, like, Brock Lesnar, and he said that I'd face Brock, but I'm worried he'd drop me on my head.
Well, at least he's honest.
Yeah. That's the match that people want, though. That's the match. It's him and Brock.
That would be good. What would
him and Brock or him and Rock? Those are the two matches.
Rock would be fun.
Because you have the two biggest guys next to Cena that made it out and did it themselves. But Cena kind of still had WWE to kind of pull him along to help him.
Yeah. No, yeah. I definitely. On other side note, they announced the best of the Super Juniors, which features what's his name? The villain, Marty Scurll.
Got Ospreay and Ricochet in there too, I'm guessing. Did Cody count as a junior? No, okay.
Zack Sabre Jr. is probably going to be in the G1.
Really?
Yeah, so he's not even in the Super Juniors. He's in the G1.
Is Ricochet not in the G1 then?
Ooh, he's in the Super Juniors.
Cody's in the G1 though.
Yes, it sounds like he's going to be in the G1.
Mm-hmm.
That G1's going to be a lot of fun.
That could be the show of the year.
Yeah, I think Naito is going to ultimately win it, but that's just my thinking.
If I would say if Omega doesn't beat Okada, I just see Omega out of the title picture.
Yeah, I think Omega, because I think they're done with Omega after that, sadly. Mm-hmm.
Has he faced Tanahashi yet?
I don't think so.
So maybe that's where they go.
Yeah, that could be another spot. Because, I mean, Tanahashi is facing Naito again, so.
Any other news?
Not really.
All right, well, I'll get out of here. We got another edition to Raw and SmackDown coming. We got closer to the Backlash pay-per-view. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time, cheers.
Goodness gracious.
Enjoy the day, people. I'm a